Today's message is entitled, Avoiding the Adversary's Trap. Now, I've touched on this before in the past, and I just felt the Lord say, I want you to speak on this today. And I hope and trust that I'm hearing correctly. But, you know, Wednesday night, I kind of approached the message Wednesday night with, well, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But all I know is that I've got to preach. And so I'm out there and I say, Jesus, help. And he amazes me. You know, he's faithful, isn't he? Because he wants you to hear from him. He wants you to receive from him. And I'm just the vessel and I get to do this. And you know what? Not only do I get to do this, but you get to do this too. You get to share the love of God with others. You get to share the good news with others. And so my job is not to do all the ministry, but to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Back to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. We're going to begin with this. Avoiding the adversary's trap. Now, how many have ever read any of John Bevere's books? He wrote a really good book a while back called The Bait of Satan, and he talks about offenses. It's a really, really good read. It's called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. If you can get a hold of a copy, I would highly recommend it. But we're going to talk about some of the things that he talked about there, and then whatever the Lord is going to interject today as well. Psalms 91, 1 and 2, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, Wednesday night, we talked about abiding in his rest. If you and I do not learn how to get into this place called rest, then we're going to collapse under the pressures of the days that are coming. People think that they can just kind of, you know, waddle around in the kiddie pool and get a little splash of this and a little of that and be around and get the goosebumps on Sunday morning. And they think that that's going to somehow hold them. But how many know that we're coming into some very trying days? It's not going to get any easier. It's going to get more difficult. However, as the days get darker, guess who's going to shine even brighter? Jesus through you and I, right? We are the light of the world. And so we need to learn how to get into rest in the Spirit so that you're not going to be dictated or your victory is not going to be dictated to you by what's happening around you. You've got to be able to live out of this place of intimacy in God, this place called the secret place of the Most High. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have been given access to the very throne of grace. And so everything that we need is in Christ. Everything has been freely given and made available to his church so that she could operate from a place of not stress, but of rest. And we need to know now how to get into that place. So the Lord has been allowing you to go through some things, even as of late, that have been very trying for you. But the purpose for that is he's getting you ready. He's teaching you how to find rest in him. He's teaching you how to live by every promise that he gives. He's teaching us, amen, that it's not by just what we can do. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So they who dwell in the secret place. What did Jesus say in John 15? He said, we must what? Abide in him. It's the same thing. It means to abide, to dwell in that place of intimacy, of rest in the Spirit. And he said in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. He makes a declaration here. How many know that your words are powerful and that we need to learn how to make declarations? You don't make negative declarations about your situation because that's what we have a tendency to do. When things aren't going good, we start to complain instead of praise. We start to magnify the problem rather than exalt the word of God. Amen. The promise of God. So we've got to learn how to also speak to our situation. And as a matter of fact, if you have turmoil in your home, you need to go to your home and you need to start decreeing over your home the blessings of the Lord. And the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. Amen. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Do you know that's in exact agreement with the heart of the Father for us? So when you decree that, when you speak that over your children, when you speak that in your home, hallelujah, the angels come to assist. Amen. The Holy Spirit always agrees with the Word of God. So the Word is powerful. Amen. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Are you feeling weak? Start declaring Him as your refuge and your fortress. Do you feel vulnerable? He is your refuge and your fortress. We are to put on the full armor of God. We are to be clothed in God. He said, my God, in Him I will trust. I'm not trusting in what things look like. I'm trusting in God who can do the impossible. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And that word snare is speaking of this trap or snare. As if a catcher of birds was to set a trap. And the success of a trapper is to know how to bait the trap just right. I've actually had a little experience with baiting traps before, especially when I lived in Korea. And we had rats the size of cats. And we had them in our attic. And I got to set a few traps up there. And those things were smart, too. You know, I mean, I even put peanut butter on some of them, and they'd eat the peanut butter off the trap. And they'd have big bear claw traps, you know. But we'd be laying at bed at night, and you hear this over the ceiling running back and forth, you know. And they were big, man. You can actually see the ceilings weren't really. So like any, most guys, I was like, oh, here's an opportunity. I'm going to get me some traps. I'm going to get these babies, you know. So anyways, the trapper depends on, he has to use stealth. He has to use trickery, you know. And he has to set it up just so it looks so good and so enticing that they're carried away by what looks good, and yet they're not realizing that it is a trap. And so how many know that's what the devil does with sin? He baits it. He makes it look so appealing and so good, but you don't realize it's actually a trap. If you knew there was a trap, you wouldn't do it. How many know what I'm talking about? If you really knew what sin is doing to you and to others, you wouldn't do it. And even Jesus, when He prayed from the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't really know. I mean, we say, yeah, I knew what I was doing when I did it, but you don't really know what you're doing. You don't realize the severity of rebellion towards God. Hello. Why does God give rules? Why did God give us regulations? Why? Because He wants to protect us, not to make us miserable. Now, we know that in grace, the law has been written on our hearts. We just know. The Spirit of the Lord says, don't do that. Why? Everybody else is doing it. Because He knows that it's a trap for your soul. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 7, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. And that's that word scandalon, which means trap or snare. And again, this speaks about the method that trappers would use to ensnare an animal. And so in that verse 3 of Psalms 91, it says, He who, God Himself, shall deliver you from the snare or the trap of birds. Now, offense is something that all of us have dealt with. Would you agree? Everyone here has been offended. There's a difference between having a momentary or temporary feeling of offense and walking in an offense. The devil is very good at getting us offended. at little things often. I mean, sometimes we can get offended over somebody didn't shake your hand or they didn't look right at you, or maybe they're having a bad day, had nothing to do with you. You were going through the grocery line and you didn't have your armor on, and all of a sudden you find yourself just being offended. I mean, know that when you stay clothed and when you keep yourself shut up in that place in God, there's a protection from the fiery darts. Amen. And this is the problem, is that sometimes we don't walk armored up. And so what happens is we very easily become offended at things people do, at things people say, at things that often are just misunderstandings. We misunderstood the situation, but the enemy comes along and says, you know, it's because they don't like you. It's because they're against you. Or that he'll come up and say, it's because you're not worth anything. And so he'll work on your jealousy. He'll try to get us jealous of others. He has many tactics, you know, different ways of trying to get us to be offended. And again, we need to be able to differentiate between a momentary feeling of, hey, I just got offended. We all do. Versus walking or living in that offense. There are many people in the body of Christ right now that are no longer in fellowship with other believers. They're against anything organized church, they call it. This is just synagogue, amen? We are the church, but this is synagogue. We get together and we share in the life of Jesus together. It's important. Jesus wants us to... How many know Jesus went to synagogue? Oh, yeah. But the enemy has convinced many of them... Well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, what better place for a hypocrite to be? And you've been a hypocrite too, so you might as well join the rest of the hypocrites. Because we've all done that. A hypocrite is basically an actor. Has anybody ever acted before, posed, you know? Been a poser? Of course you have. Don't say I haven't, because you have. Come on, at least one time in your life you've been around people and you wanted to be like them, so you acted like them, even though it wasn't you, but you wanted to fit in. You were a poser. You're a hypocrite. You're trying to be somebody you're not. We've all done it. You don't have to live that way anymore. Why? Because who you are, nobody else can be. And if you're not who you are, somebody's going to miss who you are. The blessing that you are as a person that God has placed here on this planet is going to be missed if we stay to ourselves. And so the enemy tries to get us offended so that we will start to blame a church or an organization or a somebody else. It's the blame game. Many counselors, or some counselors, they're always looking for the person who's responsible for your problem. Rather than that person to realize that, hey, you're only hurting yourself by carrying this stuff. And then we have other people who they just bounce around from church to church. And they're looking for the perfect church that fits their perfect view of what a church should look like, because I didn't like the way they did it at that last church. And because that guy said that thing from the pulpit, or that lady looked at me that way, and they mistreated me over there. So I'm going over here. I'm going to keep looking until I find that perfect church where nobody's ever going to offend me again. And guess what? When they come into the next church, they come with an expectation that I'm going to be offended. Why? Because they've already started off on the wrong foot. They've already left off with an offense. You see, it turns into a bitter root. A bitter root is an expectation that it's going to be more of the same. When you're operating in bitterness, you will actually come with the mindset that it's going to be more of the same. And do you know that you can actually sow that kind of thought and bring it to pass? If you come with an expectation, it's going to be more of those hypocrites. Guess what? All you're going to meet is hypocrites. Or it's going to appear that way. Because what you're sowing in the spirit is actually coming back to you. How many know it's very important what we think and what we meditate and what we believe about a situation? If you feel you're a loser, chances are you'll be a loser. If you feel you're not worth anything... Amen? You'll probably not take very good care of yourself, because I'm not worth anything. What you believe in your heart is very powerful, very important. And so we need to know who God says we are, and you need to know that you are precious, you are special to God. so special that Jesus was willing to shed his blood for you. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom. We are a family, and then every time you get together with family, eventually, even in your own family, guess what? Somebody gets their toe stepped on once in a while. Have you ever had any sibling rivalry? Never. Ever fought with your brother or your sister? No, never. Do you hate them afterwards? Well, hopefully not. Do you hold a grudge? You owe me for what you did. You see, when an offense occurs, a debt is owed. That's what carrying offense means. It means that now you owe me. And so I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to hold it against you. When you don't forgive, it means that you're carrying an offense, folks. And it doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter who it was. When you don't forgive, you're the one that's paying the price. You're the one that's going to suffer the torments of the enemy because you've opened the door for him to mess you up. And so you have a lot of people who they run from church to church, and eventually many of them, they just get tired of the same routine. And then they just go and they just say, well, we're going to have our own church. We're going to start our own church. And so they start their own church out of offense. And then they usually get together with other offended people, and a bunch of offended people get together and they wallow in that stuff. And all they're doing is just, you know, stirring up the mud. And so we have factions of factions and factions of factions and splinters of this group and that group. And everybody has got to do their own thing because I just don't want to be around people that are not as spiritual as me. Sometimes that's exactly what's going on. It's a pride thing. When you get offended, it's usually because your pride got hurt. Is it not? I was disrespected. I've heard it said, but a dead man doesn't feel those things. You're dead to it. Are you dead to the opinions of others yet? Getting close. I'm not there yet either, but you know what? I'm getting there. Because when you live for Christ, you've got to be dead to the opinions of people. Isn't it true? Otherwise, you'll be their puppet. You'll live to please everybody. You've got to be everybody's friend. And as long as you're everybody's friend, you're going to compromise the truth. And you're going to compromise the anointing, too. When you compromise the truth. So the enemy sets traps for us. And he wants you to get upset and he wants you to get offended by somebody. Because as long as you're holding on to that thing, he's robbing you of your joy. He's robbing you of your victory. He's got you now in a place where God really can't use you. Now, people can still be offended and operate in an anointing. And this is where defilement comes in, because if a person does not deal with this root of bitterness that was caused through an offense, then that thing will get vomited on other people, even sometimes through the pulpit. It happens. Preachers have to really guard themselves because they're constantly getting hits. And it's easy to get offended. And sometimes it'll come out of our own mouth. And guess what? You may not know it, but others are saying, phew, where did that come from? When you're hurt, it usually results in anger, outbursts of anger. How many know that's true? Most women are going to cry and get weepy when they get hurt. And maybe go through a whole plethora of emotions. They're more emotional than men. Most guys, when they get hurt, they just get mad. And we're going to take this out back. You know, some guys, they get hurt the other way too. But most of the time, you know, we're going to manifest some type of emotion when we're hurt. Now, this is very important. The sooner you deal with an offense, the better it's going to go for you. And the easier it's going to be for you to overcome it. And that's why James said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't wait to deal with that anger. Don't wait to deal with that offense that just occurred. In some cases, you can't reconcile with a person. What you do is you take it before the throne of God and you forgive and you release those people from your heart before Jesus and you give that thing to God. God will take it from you. Because often it's bigger than what we can do. How many have discovered that? Depending on the severity of the offense, some offenses are harder to get over than others. But the ones that are more difficult to get over are the ones usually that we let go for too long. And what happens? It gets buried. And we pretend it's not there. And we try to press on in our lives, in our walk. And we don't realize the garbage that we're dragging with us. Are you with me? And wherever we go, guess what? You're taking that garbage with you. And Jesus doesn't want you to have that garbage. He wants you to get rid of it. You see, God is more concerned, once again, with how we deal with the offense than the actual offense itself. God will deal with the person who offends. But our part is to correctly handle an offense by not allowing it to get root in our hearts. Sometimes we have people who are trying to justify themselves. Okay? And they use ministry as a way of doing that. Sometimes you have people who are operating out of a place of woundedness and sometimes offense. And it's almost this thing where it's like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove to you that I'm a star Christian. That I'm super spiritual, that I'm more spiritual than you. Somebody gets sat down and they get offended, and the next thing they do, they're going to run around and they're going to try to prove now to everybody how spiritual they are. And often it will come out in the way that, you know, I'm going to exalt myself. At the same time, I'm going to be putting them down. It's called belittlement. Amen? To tear somebody else down so that you can build yourself up. It's usually an indication that there's offense, that there's a root of bitterness somewhere. There's a wound that has not been dealt with in the heart. See, God wants to do surgery in you and in me. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be restored. It's inevitable that you're going to get offended at some time. It's what you do with it that determines the outcome. God's going to look at how you respond. You know, you can usually tell. Because whenever the name comes up or the thought comes up, you haven't really let it go. You got to let it go. Because you're the one that's suffering. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:14 in the New Living Translation, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Are you hearing that? Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Remember, we're receivers. You don't earn it, you receive it. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. See, it not only affects us, but it affects others. Not only can we become defiled through an offense, but we'll end up defiling others around us. In the New Living Translation in Ephesians 4:26, it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. And so we're talking about the snare of the fowler. We're talking about overcoming the snare of the adversary. And We have to, first of all, begin to identify, do I have a root of bitterness? Have I received an offense? Am I carrying offense in my life? Because if you are, it's going to stop you from going forward. It's going to prevent you from maturing in the Lord. And it's going to rob you of your victory and of your joy along the way. Are you with me? Usually the person that offended us is on their merry way. That's half the time they don't even know that it offended you. But you're the one that's miserable. And God says, give it to me. Let them off the hook. Let them off. Let them go. Release them. How many know that we deserve to pay the price for our sins? But God in His mercy gave Jesus, amen, the righteous one, the one who was without sin, the perfect Son of God, who did not deserve to die, but He was put on that cross because of our transgression, because of our iniquity, because of our sin. Jesus had to go to the cross. He paid the price that we deserved to pay, and He gave us amazing grace. Should we not also be gracious to those who trespass against us? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, I think about the terrorist situation in the world. It's one of the thoughts that came to me. How many know, folks, that in these terrorist nations, there are many brothers and sisters, Christians just like you and I? How many know that God is not willing that one terrorist should perish? How many realize, really realize that the terrorists are not our real enemy? How many realize that what's going on in the world today is a spiritual battle for the souls of men? Do you know that the answer for terrorism is Jesus Christ? The answer for that is the gospel of God. Amen? And God doesn't want these people to perish. He wants them to be saved. And so when we think about terrorists, often we say, oh, this dropped a bomb on them. Let's just nuke them till they glow. Come on, you've said it too. Is that what God wants? Now, I believe there are times when it's inevitable and it's beyond our control. There are times of war. There are times when we cannot avoid it. We have to defend ourselves as a nation. I understand that. However, God's will is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. All would realize the amazing grace that God has made available. You see, these people, were most of them are raised up in this mindset. That's all they've ever known, is to hate those people, hate those Christians. And they never heard the truth of the gospel. They never known about this amazing love, this amazing God that we serve. And often when they hear the true gospel, not the perverted gospel, but the true gospel of God's grace, it does something inside. They begin to say, wow, that's never been my view of God. My view of God was angry. Your neighbor is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Even your ex is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, Ephesians 6:12. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The most important thing, and the message I'm really trying to get across, and I know what God is saying, He's saying, stay armored up, stay close to me, shut yourself into that secret place with me, amen, so that you can protect yourself against the fiery darts of the wicked one, because he's trying to get through your armor to get to your spirit so he can corrupt you and thus defile many others. There's times when I'll say something that'll offend you. There's times that you'll say things to offend me. Oh, yes. What do I do? I go right to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, grant me grace. Grant me grace, Lord. I forgive them. I release them. Do you know, I've just discovered this thing about speaking to the person, whether you're in front of them or not. Why? Because your words are spirit and they're powerful. They're spiritual. You don't see words, but they're spiritual. And what you release out of your mouth is going to affect two worlds. Amen? The good and the bad. So if we align our conversation right, and we begin to speak blessing to those who curse us, God will reverse the thing, and He'll keep it off of you. And if a person refuses to repent, God will deal with them. But you get to go free because you let them go. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. See, God came that we might have life. He came to set the captive free. Jesus spoke about grace. He spoke about forgiveness. He spoke about, hey, let them go. Amen? Let them go. I can tell you today, folks, that I stand before you with a pure heart today. I'm not here to boast on that. I'm just saying that I have to keep myself pure. I have to protect myself from this stuff, or otherwise you're going to get the dirt. And not only does it apply to me, it applies to everyone here, because we are the ambassadors of Christ. We are representing Him, amen, in the earth realm. And when you align yourself with gossip, when you align yourself with negativity, when you start slandering and speaking evil of others, folks, you're letting the devil vomit on you. You're letting him, you know, have his way of defiling not only you, but often the more that you stir in something that's offended you, the greater the offense becomes. Have you found that? Why? Because you're attracting the flies. Flies are attracted to dead things, and if we have dead conversation, we're attracting hell. So we speak life, we speak love, we speak grace, we speak forgiveness. God help us. I've told people, I said, if you catch me, you know, getting off track with my conversation, then tell me about it, all right? Set me straight. You know, some people have taken the task with me on that. I've had people do that. And I almost got offended. I got offended that they were, you know, they were actually, how many know that people that love you tell you the truth? And hopefully they're telling you the truth because they love you. And by the way, don't tell anybody the truth unless you love them. Because you do have people go around browbeaten. And sometimes it's because they're holier than thou and they're just trying to put you down so they feel superior. And they use the truth, they use the word craftily, they use it deceitfully. And they even can quote scripture and hurt people using the word of God. Have you known brothers and sisters that use the word of God against each other? That's using it deceitfully. If you're going to tell somebody the truth, make sure that your heart is right first and that you're speaking the truth in love. Only speak the truth in love. Let your conversation always be seasoned with grace, with salt, with grace, with the grace of God. When we speak, it should be therapeutic. There should be healing in it. It should be edifying. It should be to build people up, never to tear them down. And I pray and say, God, when I even begin to stray in my conversation, smite me with conviction. And you know, I can tell. When I start to say something I shouldn't, or I start to go somewhere with something I shouldn't, I can feel the Lord saying, don't go there. It's like something is dying inside. Now, the key to avoiding the trap is recognizing it for what it is. If you don't realize it's a trap, then you're going to go right for it. Temptation, you know, is to entice you into a trap. Our victory, folks, is not going to be handled through psychiatry. It's not going to be accomplished through a psychologist. It's going to be done in the spirit realm. You got to go deeper, amen? Everything begins there. In fact, the things that you see, even creation itself, is made of things that are unseen. There's an invisible kingdom among us, amen? And there's also the kingdom of darkness. And so we see the results of that as well. in the natural. And so in order to change things in the natural, it has to begin in the spiritual. In order for you to have even victory in the natural, you've got to be right spiritually. If we don't get our hearts right with God, how many know that sometimes it can even lead to sickness and even death? Oh, yes. I said it. Sometimes sickness is a result of sin, not always. It can be a result of unforgiveness. It can be a result of bitterness. The doctors, the scientists are now discovering this, you know. Once again, they're discovering what the Bible says. That there are adverse effects on your health when you don't forgive people. When there's guilt and when there's shame in a person's life, it adversely affects their health. Aren't you glad that we don't have to carry guilt and shame anymore? Aren't you glad that we don't have to walk in offense anymore? Aren't you glad that we can be set completely free by Jesus? Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you don't have joy, you don't have the victory. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of dealing with it in the Spirit. Getting it right with God. A simple confession to Him and a renouncing of that way will put you in the position for the grace of God to come into your life. Do you know that when we refuse to agree with God's truth, then what we're doing is we're closing the door to God's grace. We're closing the door to God's mercy. So if God is speaking to you today, maybe as I was speaking today, as a matter of fact, I know that there's someone here today that is dealing with this very thing. There's offense in your heart. Folks, this is between you and God. You've been offended by Christians. You've been offended by other believers who did not understand you, who did not treat you right, who did not recognize your value or your importance, and you allowed it to become an offense. You know, you didn't get what you thought you deserved, and so it became an offense. And you're holding that against them. Sometimes people will say, I don't care what church it is or what state it's in. They'll say, I ain't ever going back to that place again. How many know that that may be just the proving ground or the training ground that God wanted you to be in so that you can learn how to forgive? So you can learn what grace is really about. How many know that you got to experience these things to really understand the grace of God? It's all part of the program. God can stop it anytime, but He'll allow it. So we'll learn what the Father feels like. We'll be able to identify with the heart of God in the things that we're experiencing here, even in our relationships. Somebody cheated on you. How do you feel? God looks at that. You know, what does God feel when we cheat on Him? Do you see? Isn't that what happened to Hosea? God was trying to teach Hosea. He told him that Mary the harlot, this fine, upstanding young man, you know, with everything going for him, pure prophet. God says, I want you to marry Gomer. I want you to marry this harlot. Why, God, when I could have? Because God was going to teach him what it was. And how God feels about His people, the ones that He loves, the ones that He shed His blood for. How He feels when we cheat on Him. Do you understand? Sometimes the things that you experience in this life are so that we can begin to identify with the heart of God. Think about that. We begin to really know now. Did Jesus not learn obedience by the things that He suffered? Did He not come as a faithful high priest? Did He not encounter and experience the very same things that we encounter and experience in this world? Did He not taste that as well so that He could identify with us? So that He could say, yes, I understand what it's like to be spat on. I understand what it's like to have your name rubbed in the mud. I know what it's like to be lied about. And when we experience these things, we need to understand the heart of God that is so big that He could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, help me. Obedience is an action, not a feeling. So often we're just emotional people, you know, as Christians. If it feels good, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't. Obedience is not a feeling. It's an action. If you want to be free today, you're going to have to take action. You're going to have to take steps to release the people that have offended you. And you're going to have to learn how to stay armored up. Stay in that place in God where it's not going to go deep into you. Amen? Amen. And never allow the sun to go down on your wrath. Never allow an offense to go. I'll deal with it one of these days. What happens is you end up forgetting. Are you with me? That you're still holding on to that stuff. And you can't understand why you're angry all the time. You can't understand why you're bitter. Because if you don't deal with it right away, it goes deeper. And the only one who can really reveal that to you is the Spirit of God. And I believe the Spirit of God is moving among us today. And He's putting some light on some things in some areas of our life. We've got to do this. We've got to get this monkey off our back so we can be free. And we need to learn how to keep it off our back. If we are going to be His ambassadors, His representatives, we're going to be His servants in this world, amen, then we need to keep ourselves clean. Would you bow your heads this morning? If you would, just spend a moment with the Lord. Close your eyes if you would. And I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about it. In Psalms 119 and 165, it says, "Those who love your instructions have great peace, and they do not stumble," or they're not ensnared. Those who love your instructions have great peace. Do you have peace in your heart today? As the Lord spoke to you this morning about someone, it might even be an organization, a group of people that have offended you, and you have never really let them off the hook. And whether you realize it or not, it's affecting you. And you're carrying that baggage today, and God's saying, "Give it to me." And I want you just to ask the Holy Spirit right now, "Holy Spirit, show me who these people are." Right where you're at. And already God has revealed to some of you, He's given you a picture, a face came to you, a memory. I want you just once again, just to pick that person up, do it in your mind and just say, I release you. I cancel the debt. In the name of Jesus, I forgive you. Now, Father, I ask right now for grace. For every person here, God, grant us your grace. Lord, I know there's others that are going to struggle today with this, but God, grant us the grace we need right now to release these people. The Lord will show you someone else. I want you to speak to that person, name them, and say, "I forgive you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go in Jesus' name." There may be several people that you need to do this with right now. Just let the Holy Spirit show you. And the more that you do that, the freer you're going to become. You're getting that monkey off your back. Speak to them by name and then release them. In Jesus' name, I forgive you. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Would you tell the Lord that? I receive your forgiveness. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. I receive your grace right now. Lord, fill my heart once again with your joy. I want to be free, and I want to live free for you. Lord, I don't want anything to encumber my walk. I want to be able to run with endurance the race set before me as I'm looking to you, the author and finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. We cannot run away from our offenses. We must turn to God. He alone is our refuge and our fortress. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.